This is your friend, John Walden. We're glad you joined us for our Bible study. We're now in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and we'll be reading the first seven verses. Therefore, that is because of what he has told us at the close of chapter 3 about beholding the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and being changed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and this is a ministry of grace in contrast to the ministry of the law, chapter 3, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. That is, we are not faint-hearted. The ministry of the gospel, according to chapter 3, is of the Spirit and of righteousness. This is not human. This is not something that we make up. Paul said, I didn't receive this from man. I didn't even receive it through man. I received it directly from God. He says this in writing to the Galatians. Now, having received this service, Paul, and this should be true of all true servants of God, says that he is not faint-hearted. Later on, verses 14 to 16, he says that we are not faint because we believe in the resurrection, because we know that we're going to have new bodies. We have every reason to be happy and firm in our belief and bold in the proclamation of the gospel. Now, in the second verse, he says, we have renounced but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty or shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. There was no trickery or deceitfulness. None of these psychological underhanded schemes in so-called Christian work today. I've seen some shameful things done that could be called nothing more than pure psychology, influencing people, working on their emotions without ever having enlightened their minds at all. Now, the emotions ought to be stirred, but we have to begin by giving the information of the gospel. We begin by enlightening the mind, and then the emotions may be stirred, and then the will must be influenced. But the Spirit of God is perfectly able to do this. Our job is to get the Word of God to them. And so he said he did not use any such kind of trickery or deceitfulness. He was not dishonest or shameful in any of his dealings. Some had accused him of this, but Paul was clear from all of this thing at all. Everything of this kind. Now, we ought to teach God's Word as it is. I know there are people who are offended by the preaching of the Word. Sometimes we offend people by our own mannerisms. That we should not do. But don't expect to preach the Word of God and not offend people, because we're told the offense of the cross has not ceased. And when we teach God's Word, we have no right to add to it, nor subtract to it from it, nor to change it. We have a responsibility to teach the truth by divine authority. Well, you say, that sounds rather dogmatic. Well, I believe in dogmatism when it comes to the Word of God. I don't believe in dogmatism of theory. I don't believe in dogmatism in man-made theology. I don't believe in the dogmatism of any church and its deductions. But we certainly ought to be dogmatic when we are teaching by divine authority. And then, having presented the truth, leave it to God to touch the consciences. Now, he expected that by his actions he would commend himself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He was quite willing to trust not only his conscience in God's hands, but he was willing to trust God to defend his messenger. Whether they thought Paul was honest or not meant very little to him, because he says in 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, It's a small thing if I be judged of man's day. It's a small thing, really, what people think, but it's a very responsible thing to take the Word of God and preach it to others. The airways are filled today with all kinds of false doctrine. It's hard to find one who will stay strictly with the Word of God. It's hard to find a person who will not warp it to produce something, proof for something that he holds to or that his church believes. Now, we all get accused of this time and again, but our job is to keep a clear conscience and to faithfully preach the Word. Now, if we faithfully preach it, why do some not hear and believe? Well, the answer to that is given in the following verses, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, and that's Satan, notice it's a little letter G, and that's the way it ought to be. Some people are afraid to acknowledge that Satan is the god of this world. He's called the prince of the power of the air, too. And later on, he's called an angel of light, as well as a roaring lion. Of course, Satan is the god of this world. They turned away from the true God, and man has to have some kind of a god. Even the atheist has a god. He may be his own god. I knew a man who was an organizer for an atheistic society, and he had a sign on his wall, I am God. He worshipped himself. Well, the God of this world has a job to do, and that job is to blind the minds of them which believe not. He has set himself to do this. Some people think that Satan's main business is getting people drunk and causing them to be immoral. Don't blame Satan for everything. Much of this comes out of our own wicked hearts. Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and all of these wicked things. But Satan's work is mainly in the religious field. His masterpiece will be Babylon the Great, the false church, which will be judged according to the 17th and 18th chapters of Revelation during the Great Tribulation period. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, or more correctly, lest the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine unto them. The gospel of the glory of Christ is Christ in the glory. It's wonderful to be able to tell people that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. How much more wonderful to be able to tell them that he is seated at the right hand of God, and that we can come to God through Christ and in no other way. For he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The reason, then, why people are not saved, even though the gospel is faithfully preached, is that they are lost. Now, they're still lost in a findable condition if they're alive. Later on, if they die in their sins, they will be lost beyond hope. There is no salvation offered beyond the grave. There is no salvation offered to people as a so-called second chance after death. You've had 1,000 chances if you live here in the United States, and in most countries, wherever the English language goes, the gospel has been heard over and over again. Now, Satan, the god of this age, and that's literally the word world, the god of this age has usurped God's place ever since the Garden of Eden. And what he is trying to do is to hoodwink you. That's the meaning of the word to blind here, to pull the wool over your eyes, to keep you from understanding. Strange that intelligent people, educated people, are not able to understand the simple gospel of the grace of God. Now, there's no defect in the gospel. We're told God who commanded the light to, well, perhaps we should go through the 5th verse. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. What we are is really nothing. We're only the messengers of God, we're only the servants of Christ, and Christ alone must be exalted. We should keep ourselves hidden. When they asked John the Baptist who he was, he said he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The Lord Jesus Christ should be glorified because he is Lord, and we are only servants, so we should keep ourselves hidden. Now, he says that the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God sent the light, or brought light, to this world in the first chapter of Genesis. He created light, and this conquered the darkness. Now the Lord Jesus has come into this world as the light of the world, and the darkness never overcame him. God now shines into dark hearts by means of the Lord Jesus Christ, for we see God in the face of Jesus Christ, not merely reflected, but because he is God. We know God only through Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath made him known. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know God. No wonder he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. As Gideon put the lights inside the pitchers, so we should be broken that the light may shine out and others may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't trusted him, do so today. If you have, thank him with me now. We do thank thee, Lord Jesus, for all that thou hast endured for our sakes. We thank thee for shining into our dark hearts. We thank thee for the glory of the gospel of Christ. We ask that our Savior may be exalted just now, and we pray in his name. Amen.